Jim. So this morning, as I had mentioned in my prayer, we are doing the last week of the Sermon on the Mount, the way of Jesus. And what I thought, I just saw in my heart, I wanted to, and we've done little handouts here and there for different series, but for this one, I just wanted to do kind of a series recap or a series handout for you guys, because we're going to do the last passage of Scripture. So how many of you did not get one of these? How many of you did not get one of these? You just want to raise your hand. All right, there's one right there. An usher will be around here in just a minute to get it to you. And really what that, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time on the handout here in a little bit, so you can just look over it now, because every time somebody hands something to you, you got to look at it right away. So take your, all right, look at it, look at it, look at it. You feel okay about looking at it? Okay, now put it away for just a minute. This is difficult, I understand. Put it away for just a minute. We're going to pull it back out here in just a little bit. So I want to go through the end of Matthew chapter 7 and the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and then we'll kind of circle back through the summary. We'll sort of do those simultaneously here. So it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 is where we're going to be. But I want to start with just a funny story of me as a child. We all love funny stories of me as a child. But I loved, what are they, called Duplo blocks? I think it's Duplo blocks, right? You guys, it's like Legos, but they're bigger, right? They're for the smaller children, you know, for those who, you know, don't have that dexterity to put those together. So when I was young, I would say I was probably 12, and my sister, who was 9 years younger, she was 3, and she used to always ride on this little bike. And it was a little bike she would ride around the house real quick. It was like a little Hot Wheels type thing. So I had this idea that I was going to take Duplo blocks and I was going to build them from the carpet, from the floor to the ceiling. And I was certain I could do this. You know, I did sort of the mathematical estimation in my head. I was like, I'm going to be able to do this. And so I started building these blocks. And, you know, as a kid, you're just excited to get started on something. You know, not thinking like maybe building on the carpet is probably not the best idea for stability, but I'm like, you know what? It's going to be good. And so I start building up these Duplo blocks, and I'm about here, then I'm about here. So then I'm getting chairs. I've got to get on chairs. It's seeming a little bit more wobbly and wobbly and wobbly. And I'm about maybe halfway up to the ceiling. And God bless her, my little sister, she was spunk and fire as a 3-year-old. And she might be watching. She is a little bit now too. Anyway, but she came flying around the corner on that Hot Wheels. And I don't exactly know what happened. I don't know if it was the wind of how fast she was going by, or maybe I think she maybe just swung her foot out. You know, as she, you know, one of those things as you like her, because you're riding on a Hot Wheel and you're feeling pretty comfortable, like you're okay to. And it's like she swung her foot out, hit my Duplo block creation that was about yay high, and the thing just came crashing down. And I was like, what? I couldn't believe it. And so she's like 3. What are you going to do, like yell at her? Well, you know, later on in that evening, I think I tripped her a couple times, you know, doing big brother things to try to get back to her. And I have apologized to her for how I harassed her when she was young. But what I realized, even as a little kid, I was like, wait a second. That foundation was not stable enough for me to make it all the way. I needed a better foundation, and so I picked up my little system, you know, because they didn't all come crashing apart, and I put it on the coffee table. Flat surface, a little more hard, right? And good luck to my baby sister. She's going to try to swing her leg out over the coffee table. That's not going to happen, right? So then I built those things, and you know what? I made it all the way to the top, and it stayed there for a little bit until I threw a ball, which I did in my house all the time, and then I end up knocking it down. But the point of the story is what we're going to get into, what Jesus said, is Jesus talks about we have to build our house on the rock. We have to build our house on a stable foundation for when the winds and the waves come, our house remains stable. So let's look at this passage of Scripture. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. So pause just for a second right there. So this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And we don't know if it was all given at one time, if it was given over a couple days, is what most, you know, theologians believe. But there, this is Jesus, he's like wrapping it up. This is like the big takeaway. Like, I said all these things, now hear this as I close out the message. This is where we're at in the Sermon on the Mount. This is it. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine. So as you're sitting there, you know, they didn't have the hand. Like, what were all the sayings, Jesus? It's been a 3-day sermon. I don't remember everything that you were saying. Well, look at this. They were probably taking notes on their parchment. I'm taking notes here for you. So they have all these sayings, all these things he just got done teaching them. Whoever hears these sayings of mine, we all love that. Ooh, I heard that. That's good. Ooh, I heard that. Check out that thing on Facebook. I heard that. That's good. But then it says, and does them. Amen. Oh. Jesus, did you have to wrap? Wait a second. You're wrapping this up with and does them. Like, so don't just hear the sayings. And as a church family, guess what, guys? You have all heard these sayings. We just walked through all of them. You weren't expecting this at church coming in. Like, wait, what? Yeah. Whoever hears these things and does them, then I will liken him or her. So then Jesus says, okay, so you heard my sayings, and if you do them, when you do them, I will liken that person to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So there's a sense of we've said yes to Jesus, and that is the beginning of the foundation. That's the concrete floor. That's the beginning of all of it. It's as a builder, right? You got to get the floor down first before you can put the walls up, I think. Brother Paul, is that right? Sort of. Okay, he's like, Pastor Jason, that's not exactly, but it's close. You understand what I'm saying? You got to, like, the Duplo block at the bottom had to be done first before I could go up, before I could begin building. So that foundation of Jesus is our rock. He is the cornerstone. He is the rock. We have to first, before any foundation is built, have that as our fundamental foundation. And then these sayings of his, these things that he has taught us, begin to help build a strength of foundation around our home, around our lives, around our relationships, around these things, because he addresses so many things in the Sermon on the Mount. Then verse 25, he says, and the rains descended, and the floods came. Life. He could have said, and life happens. There are t-shirts that say other things happen, but life happens, right? This is what happens. Life happens. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. How many have had times in your life where you feel like it's raining, the winds are blowing, and everything's happening all at once? And the winds blew, and they beat on the house. If you are living, which you are, in this world, you will have trouble. We're going to look at that scripture in a minute. But what it's saying is if you are living and breathing and walking around, there's going to be challenges in your life. The winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. We have to establish our lives on the basis, on the foundation of Jesus, and we have to begin to evaluate and look at the foundation that we have, that we're building, because all of us have cracks in our foundation. We do, guys. We do. We all have cracks in our foundation. I'm going to get to that here in just a little bit. But what Jesus is saying is it's what comes down to is the foundation. It's what's holding everything else up. And what happens is, much like my Duplo block creation, I didn't know how unstable it was, truly, until my little sister came around the corner. The wind and the waves came. Amy, I love you, girl. I'm sorry if you are not like, you know, evil things here. I love you so much. She's listening, right? But it wasn't, I could see it was a little unstable, but I was like, it'll be all right. How many of you ever done that in your life? Like, well, there's this little thing that seems a little bit off, but it'll be okay. And what God is pointing out to us and showing us that is we have to have this firm foundation, and as you're working on it, because guess when it gets exposed? When the winds come and the waves come and which begins to rock the house that we're in. So we don't get to see it and don't really know what's going on until those storms come. It's the challenges of life. John 16, 33 says this. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, church, on that rock, on that foundation, on Jesus Christ, on his teachings, if you love me, you will obey my commands. On all of that, you may have peace. And in the world, you will have tribulation. Amen. In the world, we will have it. It's not you might. It's not like if, well, look, if you just pray the right prayers and you just speak all the right scriptures at all the right time with the right memorization plan and program, if you go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and don't forget to be, you know, subscribe to the YouVersion app and do that daily devotional and this daily devotional, and once you have the perfect formula of all these things down, your life is going to be a breeze. Okay, I've never preached that sermon because that's not for real. Doesn't happen. It says you will. You will, you will, you will, you will. I'm sorry, but you already know it, right? You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. For what? For Jesus has overcome the world. The challenges we face are not from God, but God will use them to show us and to expose us where our foundation is not solid. And we have to look at that. We have to understand that. So really what God is always working on, what this whole message of the Sermon on the Mount has all been about, is what is not seen. It's what's in the heart, right? I could walk through this place and you have no idea how I'm doing. You have no idea what I'm struggling with. You have no idea my challenges, the things I'm worried about, have anxious about. You don't know because you just see this outer appearance. And what I think we have to all reflect on as we close this series this week is that, where is my heart? What am I really believing? Am I really believing that God is good, that God is faithful, that God is forgiven, that God is merciful? And am I actually living that way? Am I walking out that belief? Because if you're not walking in that, then the Lord's trying to show you, then you don't really believe that as much as you think you do. You know, oh, I trust in God. I trust in God. We sing the song, I trust in God. Then you get home, you start looking at your bank account. Oh, I don't know, what am I going to do about this? Right? We've all done it, right? And I just, the math doesn't work out, and I don't have a paycheck, but the bills, and I just don't know what, and you begin to worry and anxious. Do you trust in God or not? You just sang the song, but are you acting, and are you walking out, are you believing in faith that I truly am trusting in God? And that's just an indicator for you. It's just like, whoa, it's kind of like a timeout, like a little self-reflection. Like, whoa, what was that? Where's my heart at in this situation and in this challenge and in this tribulation? What are we really believing? Jesus is our rock. He is our cornerstone. And he said in that verse, whoever hears them and does them, that is the wise man who builds his house on the rock. Matthew 16, I don't have this scripture up here, and it says this. It's interesting because it's sort of a parallel. This is Jesus speaking to Peter, and he says this. And I also say to you, who are Peter, that on this rock I will build my church. So it's interesting that he then talks about the church, and he talks about Peter, and he says that, okay, Peter's like a rock, and he's going to build the church on that. And then what happens? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When we begin to establish our foundation of our lives on the rock of Jesus and on his sayings and on his commandments and what he is asking us to go do, we begin to firm up a foundation that when the winds and the waves come and the rain comes, we have built our life on a foundation of him. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 26 then, and Jesus, you know, the title of this was, two houses. So it was like two gates, two trees, two destinies, two houses. Like this is as Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount. He was paralleling these two things. He says this, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The young boy who built his Duplo blocks on the carpet. It wasn't a firm foundation. When the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house and it fell, it was a great fall. Or in great was its fall, the different versions say it. Wow. And it's interesting, you know, those who are in the building world, how many of you have ever bought a house? mostly, right? Mostly bought a house. And you know that teeny little thing they do a few days before called the home inspection, right? The home inspection. Now, when you are excited about a house and you really want to buy it, you know, the home inspection is just like, well, this window doesn't work, this step's a little this, or this is that, or, you know, maybe the drain isn't perfect, or there's a little leak here. It's like, you're like, whatever. How's the foundation? Right? At least that's for me. It's like, how is the one thing that is so foundation and fundamental to this house, I want to know that first. Like, somebody go down and check the foundation. Check it out. I want, are there cracks? Is it solid? Because if that's a problem, that's a problem, right? Then you think, I got to jack the house up. It's just like, you know what? I think I'm going to pass on that house. But that's what's happening. It's interesting that it's the foundation. It's the most important thing to build upon. Jesus, it's the most important thing. Here's what I found very interesting. Both builders, the wise builder and the foolish builder, they're both doing the same thing. They're both doing the same thing. To someone's eye, who wasn't looking at where they were building, they were doing the same thing. And in life, we do a lot of the same things as those who maybe don't know Jesus. We get up, we brush our teeth, put on our clothes, we go to the gas station, right? I mean, we go to work, I mean, we go to a grocery shop. It's the same thing. We're doing the same thing, but there's a fundamental, foundational difference that you don't see, and it's what's going on underneath. That's most important. And they both started the house, they both finished the house, and everything seemed to be going well. Right? I was pretty confident in my Duplo block house. You know, the thing I was building, I was like, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to be good. And then when the winds and the waves came, it wasn't good. I have a quote here that I want to put up here. The guy who gave it, or it could be a gal, I don't know. I couldn't find if it was a guy or a girl, just with the last name of Bruce. So I assumed it was a man. That's terrible, because your last name could be Bruce, right? It's probably not Bruce. So likely, I have no idea who wrote this, and I tried, and I'm sorry. But it's probably not Bruce. Okay, could you put that up there for me, this quote? Okay. Where, the person who wrote this, listen to this, look at this. This is so good. Where it, and I don't write like this, so I got to give credit where it's due. Wherein lay the second builder's folly? Not in deliberately seeking a bad foundation. I don't think the foolish, like a lot of times we don't start out going, I want to build something that falls down. Like, let me invest my time and effort into something that's going to get destroyed and have a great fall. Like, nobody does that, right? We don't do that. So, not deliberately seeking a bad foundation, but in taking no thought of the foundation. Whoa. The foolish builder took no thought of what he was building on. What was that foundation? What were the things that go along with that foundation that solidify it, that make it strong? His fault was not an error in judgment, but in inconsiderateness. It is not, as is commonly supposed, a question of two foundations, but of looking to and neglecting to look to the foundation. Whoa. And so what this tells me, it's like, well, I already built my house. What now? But what this is saying, how Jesus always is to us, it's not too late. It's never too late. If you already built the house and it wasn't on Jesus and it wasn't on his commands and how much he loves you and cares for you, it's not too late. It's never too late. We have to do this. We have to look to the foundation that we have in our lives and say, I got some cracks and I need Jesus to help me fix them. That's it. That's it. That's what Jesus is saying here as he's wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. It's like, that's it. It's okay. Wherever you are right now, it's going to be okay. God is with you. God is for you. He's never going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He just wants us to take a look at our foundation. Take a peek. Walk down the steps. Even if it's cold and dark down there. I'm serious. Walk down the steps of the foundation of your heart. Whether it's whatever you find down there is not something you're going to want to find. But here's what I know. Is even when you're in this foundation, even when there's cracks, God is faithful. And he is good to continue to restore that foundation that we have. And he may see, you may have water coming through like nobody's business through a crack with all this rain. But Jesus says, I will be the plug for you. Seek me. Search me. He wants you to get real with him about your heart. To say, look, Lord, I've been avoiding going down to the basement and checking the foundation. How many of you know that we all do that? You're walking by the door, you're like, another message on my heart. It's like the door's right there, but it's like, I don't want to open it. I don't want to go down and check out the foundation because I don't know what I'm going to go find. But here's what I do know. If you go down, you're going down with a big old spotlight with you. And when you have that spotlight of Jesus, when you have light, it will expose the darkness. It will expose the crack. It'll expose the problem in your foundation. And what God says and what Jesus said, he's with us and he is for us and he will help us restore that foundation in our life. Whatever it might be, whatever that issue is, and every one of us struggles with something different, he will restore that foundation for us. It's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. These commands that Jesus gave us are here to help us to build a strong foundation. I know we've talked to a few people lately, Pastor Liz and I. Actually, mostly she's had this conversation with several people. And most of us want to have it both ways. You know what I mean by that? We want all the blessings of a strong prayer life, of a strong Bible reading life, of a strong relational life, of a strong worship life and church and a community. We all, we want the blessings of that come from that, but many times we don't want to make the sacrifice to actually live that way. I don't want to. It's going to be kind of hard. It's going to be kind of hard. But all growth is hard. How many have had growing pains in their life, right? You're like, Jairus, he's, I need food. Like, that's hard. It's hard work. Growing is hard. It's difficult. But Jesus is calling us clearly to say, all this stuff I said to you, it's not going to be easy. This whole Sermon on the Mount, it's not going to be easy. But obey my commands. Listen to my commands. Why? Because I love you. Because I care about you. And I want to firm up your foundation. And so I gave it. Okay, you can do it now. All right. Y'all been itching. Pull out this, the little handout. I wanted you guys to have this because I wanted you to see all the different things that Jesus was talking to us about. Starting with the Beatitudes. Going through each of these, we confess our need, we confess our sin, we submit to God. All of this is in regards to our heart. And you look on the right-hand side, and it just, I have the scripture passage that goes with it, that goes through each of these areas, and they're all regarding our heart, our giving, our praying, are doing good, are going the extra mile, how we deal with our enemies or those who are coming against us, our promises, our yeses and our noes, our marriage, where murder and adultery start in the heart, all of this stuff. But this is the wrap-up of all the things that Jesus was saying. In church, if I want us to know, we can't have it both ways. And the Lord is calling us to a deeper, Lord is calling each and every one of you, including myself, to walk by that basement door and to stop in front of it. You probably got all locked and chained up, right? That's right. Start undoing the locks. Find the keys. Open it up. Open up that door to your heart. And walk down those steps and say, Jesus, you promised to come with me, so let's go. And begin to go to those places. And begin to shed light on those areas. And whatever he reveals to you, I just encourage you this week. I know we gave you some Bible reading last week, and we're going to get into a new Bible reading plan here in the next couple weeks. But I would just encourage you to read the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we had you read Romans 1 and 2 a couple times. I would encourage you this week to read it. Read it through once, read it through slowly. just read it through this week and meditate on it. And you can even keep this with you. The reason why I gave you this is so you can just put a few notes on the back, keep it in your Bible or keep it, you know, with you wherever you might be, and just say, Lord, I want to do some heart repair. I want to do some heart work, and I need your help to do it with me. Worship team, you want to come back up. Let me encourage you with this. We're going to close in doing a piece of that last song because it's all about Jesus. The very end of Matthew chapter 7 says this, verse 28. And so it was when Jesus had entered these sayings. It was ended these sayings. So as he wrapped it up, the people were astonished at his teaching. And here's the reason why. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And that's what made Jesus so different, is he had an authority on his teachings. And I just want to encourage you this morning that you as well, because of Jesus and what he's done for us, and as he went to the cross and he bore our sins and our pain and our challenges and rose again, when Jesus says this, says, behold, I give you the authority now. Church, you have the ability to make this decision and to do it with Jesus. Because he has given you that authority, that these teachings of his that are there in front of you, you have the authority to trample the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The winds, the waves, the plans, the purposes, all of that, he has given us as believers this authority over that in partnership with him. And I also want to tell you, church, that you are activated today by the Holy Spirit. Bible says in Acts 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You have the authority and you have the power because of the Holy Spirit. You can do this. You can do this. So bow your heads this morning. Before we get into singing the song or the chorus or whatever Sid and the team are going to do, I want to take this moment and give you guys, everyone, an opportunity to walk up to your basement door and open it. And I'm telling you, I understand this is not a short thing. It's not something that you can do in just a minute or two. But it's more of a commitment to say, I am willing to open up that basement door, to walk down those steps, to begin to sit with Jesus in whatever crack in my foundation that he reveals to me first. You don't have to come up with them on your own. God may already be speaking to you as to what that is that he wants to work on you with. I know I have mine. Just take a moment. Almost picture yourself with Jesus, opening that door, taking off all those locks, swinging that door open. You can picture your own house if you have a basement, or one, a house that you do know that has a basement. You just whisper under your breath and just thanking Jesus for being with you, being for you. Saying, Jesus, I'll go, but I'm not going alone. And I know his response to that this morning is, I've got you. I've got you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for who you are. Jesus, we worship you. We worship your name. We worship what you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this Sermon on the Mount, Lord. Lord, thank you that you've given us the authority and the power to do what you've asked us to go do, and that you'll never leave us and never forsake us. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Guys, as we stand with me, we're going to sing this last song. I know I already kind of made you do the mental gymnastics of, hey, you know, I'm going to go to the door, I'm going to walk down the steps. But I think most times in our walk with the Lord, we have to activate ourselves physically. We have to activate ourselves physically and do something a little different, sometimes a little uncomfortable, that we're not always wanting to go do. So as we sing this song, this last song, if God is really pulling on your heart this morning and say, I've got to get to the foundation with Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I need Him to begin to repair and restore this. I would just encourage you to just walk up here this morning. Walk up here up front. I'm not going to do anything I'm not sure what we're going to do. I shouldn't say that. I don't know what I'm going to do. So come at your own risk. That made everybody feel very comfortable. Probably shouldn't have said that. Okay, I'm not likely going to like smack you or anything, okay? So you'll be safe when you come up here. So I would just encourage you as we sing this song, if that's you this morning, to slip up here. Slip up here and say, Lord, Jesus, you're with me, you're for me. I want to do this with you. Can we do that this morning? Okay, let's worship.
Father, we commit our hearts unto you today. Father, I pray for every person here. Father, specifically for those who walked up here to stand before you, God. I pray that they would know the safety and the rest of Jesus. I pray that as you do work to repair the foundations. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that every lie of the enemy would be exposed. I pray that every unholy structure that has been built upon a lie would be brought down in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that in that process, God, that there would be peace, Father, that faith would rule and reign, God, that in the workspace, in the mess created as you repair, as you do repairs, God, that they would feel your presence, that they would know your love in new ways, in deeper ways. Father, I pray a hedge of protection around them in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you look upon the heart of men. Father, I thank you that you look past the outer shell, that you look past the outer behavior, that you look deeply into the hearts of men. And Father, we just consecrate this time to you. The work that you've begun here this morning, God, I pray that it would continue on and on and on in every life, in every heart. Father, I thank you that you hear every prayer. Father, that your presence, that your word, that who you are, God, would be truth and light. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, God, that you have made a place for us to build where we will always be safe and we will always stand firm. Father, I thank you for Jesus. We magnify the name of Jesus. We stand upon your word. We trust in you, God. We trust in you, God. We trust in you today, God. We trust in you tomorrow. We trust you in this place. We trust you in our homes and our marriages. We trust you in our hearts. We trust you in our mind. We trust you with our emotions, God. We trust that you are working. That when we don't see it, you are working. And when we don't feel it, that you are working. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus, in the workplace. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus, in the lives of our children. We trust you, Jesus, in the lives of this church. Father, thank you. Thank you, God, that you are firming foundations in every area. In Jesus' name.
If you've made your way up here, I don't want to rush you. You can stay for a few minutes. Prayer teams, if you guys could come up even just right now and just maybe where there's some openings, if you could come up here. If you're up here or even if you're at your seat and you just say, look, I just need someone to agree with me in prayer, whether it be about healing, relationship, or maybe just some action taken today from today's message and what the Lord is doing and wants you to do in your heart, just to agree with you in prayer on that. Maybe you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. The Bible says today's a day of salvation. I just want you to, if you're up here, you can get prayer from those prayer teams that are up here. If you're at your seats and you want to come up and get prayer as we close, that's fine. I would ask you this morning, I don't normally ask you this, but as we close, especially parents with young kids, as we close, I would like to try to keep this atmosphere up here of prayer and of ministering. So, try to keep your kids in the lobby or have them go out. Actually, with the lights, if we could keep maybe some of the lights a little bit dimmer up front here as well. I just feel a sense that there's going to be some ministering going on with these prayer teams, and I don't want to disrupt that in any way today. So can we do that today? Thank you, guys. Okay, I'm going to read this benediction as we close, and if you guys could just kind of, you can fellowship out in the lobby, that'd be great. 2 Corinthians 13 says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen and amen. All right, guys, we love you. We'll see you soon.